It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret will be back tomorrow. Coming up, record sales are as low as ever, but one pop star, Taylor Swift, is still breaking sales records. And some say she's saving the industry. Others say she's maybe more of an anomaly. We'll look at the future of the record industry. First, we're talking about state Democrats. Today, Democrats in the state Senate voted Senator Jennifer Schilling as their minority leader. And yesterday, Democrats in the Assembly reelected Peter Barca as their minority leader. This is after the Republicans kept control of Wisconsin state government in last week's election, gaining traction in both the Senate and the Assembly. Senator Schilling earlier this week said Democrats need to create a new message that appeals to rural voters as well as urban and suburban Wisconsinites. Mordecai Lee is with us to talk about what that new message might be that Democrats could come up with. He's professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. Mordecai, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me, Veronica.
Well, let's talk about how things went for Democrats in the last election. How much did the party lose?
Well, it's almost hard to exaggerate how badly they did. And probably the problem is that voters speak in a very sort of muffled voice, you know, a very sort of rough indicator. And we can't look into the crystal ball of the voters and say, well, it was because of the agenda, let's say the policy agenda of Democrats vis-a-vis Republicans, or it was because of a low turnout, or it was because of national trends. So it's really hard to come up with one simple explanation, which is what always makes professors happy. We like complicated.
So it's hard to put your finger on exactly why. Now, there are some Democrats saying part of the reason why is that Democrats didn't have a message that stuck with voters. What do you think with that?
Well, that could be it. We have to remember the context, and that's that Democrats are trying to kick a ball uphill. And by that, I mean that the redistricting that was passed by the Republicans after they won the 2010 election was so effective that it created almost a permanent majority of assembly seats and state senate seats that would go Republican even if a yellow dog were voting. Yellow dog is the phrase they used to use in Southern politics about how voters always preferred one party over another, that they would prefer a yellow dog over somebody from the other party. And I think we are in a bit of a yellow dog situation here in Wisconsin politics. As long as the 2010 redistricting stays in place, it's very hard to find competitive districts. It's very hard to win districts that lean Republican. And so that was one of the many things that went against Democrats. But on the other hand, sometimes the minority party wins elections by simply saying, we're not those guys. In other words, we're the alternative. If you're unhappy with the status quo, vote for us. Sometimes the minority wins because they do have better ideas. I mean, you'd expect me as a professor that I believe in the power of ideas. I believe in substance, in public policy. And so it's nice to hear Senator Schilling, now Minority Leader Schilling, saying that maybe they need a new message. But I hope that it's about content and not about packaging and marketing. Sometimes in modern culture, we seem to confuse substance with the shadow of it.
Well, that can be a tricky egg to crack. So you have your content, and it may be something you believe in, something you believe to be solid content, but then you still have to make it palatable, understandable, appealing to voters. So how do you do both?
Well, absolutely. And let's go back to, for example, Barack Obama's incredible win when he ran for president in 2008. And his entire message boiled down to, let's see, what was it, hope and change. That, in a sense, meets the criterion of sort of a simple kind of message, although, on the other hand, a relatively vague message. But if I'm arguing with myself, one could say that Barack Obama won not because he had a great message or because he had a great platform, but because he was in the right place at the right time. You know, the stock market had collapsed in September and October. The economy was tanking. There was dissatisfaction with Republicans as the majority party. And in a sense, he won because he wasn't the Republican. So it's always hard to say how much percent is it substance, how much is it packaging, and how much is it just plain the luck of public opinion.
Now, there have been those out there saying that Democrats don't know how to speak to rural voters, that they do pretty well with urban voters, suburban voters, but not so well with rural voters. Do you agree with that?
Well, like all generalizations, it has its limits. And, for example, when Craig Gilbert of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did his in-depth series on the Wisconsin voter, he pointed out that even though, as a national generalization, rural voters vote Republican, that there are some counties in Wisconsin that are substantially rural and that still go more predictably for Democrats than Republicans. And it's hard to explain why. It's hard to find sort of a uniform explanation, whether it's geography or ethnic background or income levels. But Wisconsin, I think rural voters are more open in some places to Democrats than they are as a generalization across America. You know, segueing from rural voters to unions, you know, I really think it's important that we talk about the impact of Act 10 on the Democrats being defeated this time around. Act 10 was not only a fiscal effort to raise more money to cover pension costs and health care costs of employees, but it also effectively eliminated public labor unions as political players and political contributors and a source of volunteers. So let's say that the generalization about rural voters is right, and let's say the generalization about not having a message is right. But there are also these other political factors that really one of the major constituencies of the Democratic Party is really on life support nowadays.
So what does that mean going forward? I mean, it sounds like you wouldn't frame this as this is a time that Democrats need to go back to the sandbox, get some new ideas, and do some soul searching. You're saying maybe things were just structurally hard this time.
Things were structurally hard, but you know, professors like the but. It is good to have a message. It's good to have a platform that resonates. It's good to be more than I'm not the other party. I'm the opposition to the other party. And I think it's reasonable for, let's say, Representative Doyle and Senator Schilling to say, is the sort of left-of-center ideology of the Democratic Party of urban voters, minorities, low-income people, university people, the urban areas, is that enough? And they should be asking it, and I like that they're asking it. And presumably Wisconsin is changing along with America. For example, we used to talk about soccer moms, that soccer moms were university graduates who were often full-time homemakers, who tended to lean right on economic issues and tended to lean left on cultural issues such as, say, abortion. Why has the Democratic Party lost them? In fact, it was interesting to see that both the candidates for governor and the candidate for attorney general from the Democratic Party this time around really emphasized abortion rights, the right to choose, contraception. And it seemed to land with a thud in the sense of that it really didn't change where public opinion was going, that Republicans were able to win even though they were explicitly identified, let's say, as the pro-life party, not the pro-choice party.
Now, you've said a couple of times that it doesn't always work to say I'm, you know, not that guy. I'm somebody else. And Mary Burke, that was a criticism that was leveled at her quite a bit, that she ran on a platform of not being Scott Walker. Do you think that was an Achilles heel in general for Democrats this time around and one that might have been difficult to avoid?
That's a great point, Veronica, because when an incumbent is running for re-election, in this case, Governor Walker, more often than not, the election is a kind of a referendum on that incumbent. Do we like the person's record over the last term that they were elected to, or do we not like it? Do we want that person to continue in office? Do we not want that person to continue in office? So for Scott Walker or Barack Obama running for re-election in 2012, the electorate in this sort of very muffled voice said, attaboy, you know, in the sense of, okay, we're going to give you another term. So in that respect, Mary Burke was quite limited in terms of her options. But nonetheless, I still like that Senator Schilling and Representative Doyle are encouraging some new thinking about what are the kinds of things that a left-leaning electorate or a moderate electorate would find appealing in the 2010s. Presumably the appeal, for example, to labor unions, not just public employee labor unions, but labor unions in general. Their percentage of the population has been dropping, and the sort of blue-collar retired ethnic voters have since turned from Democratic to Republican. So there is a need for good ideas, but good ideas aren't the whole part of it to lead to winning.
We're talking right now to political scientist Mordecai Lee about what new message Democrats in Wisconsin can create after getting trounced in the last election, leading to what could be the largest Republican majority in Wisconsin since 1957, pending two undeclared assembly races. And we're wondering what you think about this. Do you think that it was a message problem or just a structural problem with this election? What ideas would you like to see Democrats come back with and develop as they try to speak to voters going forward? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion with political scientist Mordecai Lee about how Democrats could change their message, their content, their ideas to be more successful in the next election. And we're taking your calls now. How do you think Democrats in Wisconsin should change their brand? Do you think that they missed the boat in this election? They got off message or didn't deliver the right message? Or do you think that voters simply wanted what Republicans had to offer this time around? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take our first caller now. Jim joins us in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to make two quick points. One is that when Scott Walker went at used Act 10, supposedly for economic purposes, it really was to go after his number one political opponent and the number one political opponent for the Republican Party for the past 25 years, which was the teachers union. It caused an organizational body blow to the Democratic Party in terms of their get-out-the-vote effort and their general ability to organize, period. And secondly, the Democrats on both the national and state level, the war on women argument doesn't resonate because people can vote for Republican candidates knowing that abortion and contraception rights are not going to change. Those are my two comments. I'll take my response off the air.
Great. Thank you for calling, Jim. And Mordecai, what do you make of that?
Well, I think Jim is right on target when he talked about the destruction of the teachers union, that was more than just a financial thing to cover the structural deficit of state government. It had a major political impact because, after all, Act 10 included some sections that had really nothing to do with economics, and it was about how they had to be recertified every year, how not voting counted as a no vote, how they could only negotiate over increases up to cost of living, up to inflation. So it was a very, very effective way to politically hurt the Democratic Party. Now, as for the war on women, I'm really not sure where that's going. Generally speaking, the Republican Party is the pro-life party. The Democratic Party is the pro-choice party. But it could well be that that we'll see Roe v. Wade repudiated by the court, by the U.S. Supreme Court, or it could be that they'll permit more limitations on abortion that are currently thought to be in conformance with Roe v. Wade. So it could be that the abortion issue will re-rise if it becomes more tangible. In other words, if it's more than just an abstract issue. And generally speaking, in politics, the group that's unhappy is the group that mobilizes and votes. And so in that respect, if there's something concrete about abortion rights or, let's say, access to contraceptives that would lead to, let's say, middle-class voters being unhappy and worried, that would probably have an impact on politics as opposed to the way it is right now.
Okay, thank you for that call. And let's go next to Darren in Viroqua. Hi, Darren.
Hi, I'm a nurse, and I voted both Democrat and Republican in my lifetime. I'm old enough to remember pro-life Democrats, and I like the message of the Democrats on raising the minimum wage and sustaining Obamacare, which has benefited me and my wife. But I would like to see the Democratic Party become more open to the pro-life voice. I fear that they're not open to that because of the money that they get from NARAL, Pro-Choice America, Planned Parenthood. But when the Democrats enunciate that pro-choice viewpoint, which they did in this election, I believe my experience with women has been in the nursing field is people are squeamish when it comes to Planned Parenthood and abortion. So please be more open to pro-life, but continue that populist message on economic issues. We need Democrats like that.
Gotcha. Thank you, Darren. And what about Mordecai? Is that going to happen anytime soon? Democrats looking at more conservative social issue platforms?
Well, the trend lines in American politics are going in the opposite direction that Darren would want them to be. I mean, we used to have a Republican Party that was a big tent, a Democratic Party that had several wings, including, as he mentioned accurately, that there were pro-life Democrats, and there used to be pro-choice Republicans. Over the last 10 years or so, the two parties have become much more homogeneous within themselves, much more a party that stands for just one side of the abortion issue. But I like the fact that Darren also linked it to the minimum wage. And that's a perfect example of how the voters speak in sort of a muffled voice, that the voters only had a choice to vote for the Republican nominee for governor or the Democratic nominee for governor. In this case, for example, Scott Walker was against increasing the minimum wage or take the Medicaid dollar issue, against taking Medicaid dollars from the federal government. And yet he got reelected, even though he was, in terms of public opinion polls, on the wrong side of those handful of issues. So how do we explain that? How do we explain that the public at large supports increasing the minimum wage, but the opponent to the increase got elected? Well, in a sense, that's the fault of democracy, the fault of the fact that we can only cast one vote. We can't say, well, 70% for this person and 30% for that person.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. And on we go next to Sherry in Whitewater. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I have 2 points. I campaigned for Mary Burke, and I think she wasn't the strongest candidate. And in spite of that, she still did a really great job in Wisconsin. But nationwide, Democrats were running against President Obama and all of his accomplishments, and I continue to be mystified by that because he has done so much. He's accomplished so much, and also there wasn't any talk about the opposition Congress and how, you know, he had to do a lot of things, and it's amazing that he did anything in the face of this opposition Congress. And I would like to see the Democratic Party stand with their Democratic president.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, Sherry. And Sherry's voicing what others have said on this show, that maybe in retrospect, in the rearview mirror, Democrats should not have stepped so far away from Barack Obama, which is pretty much what they did in these elections, keeping their distance. Was that the right thing to do?
Well, Veronica, I really think you're on to something, and this is a really good subject, that there seems to be a kind of a Gresham's law of politics, and that's that the negative trumps the positive. And so, for example, when we speak about the national races, that the negative sense of where America is heading, whether it's about ISIS, whether it's about Ebola, whether it's about job creation, the negative trumped the positive that that Sherry summarized, and that's that the economy has come back, unemployment is down. I'd even go so far as to say that Obamacare has been a smashing success, and I know that isn't shared widely, but I think on the numbers of uninsured that one could say it did accomplish that goal. It's almost like the political reality that Republicans successfully were able to convey with their message was unlinked to, well, for lack of a better term, reality, and that the Republicans are just a fabulously successful party at messaging, at wedge issues, at talking about what they want to talk about. And I think that that's true also in Wisconsin, that our Republicans are much more sure-footed in terms of campaign tactics and campaign funding than Democrats. And for example, the AG's race ended up being very disproportionate, a very strong win for the Republican nominee, even though both candidates weren't particularly well known, and they started off the day after the primary sort of at the same starting line. Why is it? Well, it's got to be, in part, going back to where we started the conversation, Veronica, that maybe Democrats aren't successfully saying what they stand for. It's not enough to be the Me Too party or I'm sort of like that other person party. Maybe there is something intrinsically wrong, that the Democratic Party can't be the New Deal party anymore.
And looking at this, you know, in our last little bit of time here, Mordecai, Is there a case to be made, though, that this is just how politics works? It comes in waves. A Republican wave came in, next time a Democratic, and that in the American political system, it sort of seeks balance. And this time it balanced toward Republicans.
You're a great political scientist, and you remember your American history. Yes, it's true. I think we can talk about how the country's mood changes and the pendulum of partisan politics changes, and that sometimes we're in eras where Republicans are dominant, sometimes we're in eras where Democrats are dominant. But then when you start peeling back the orange, well, why were they dominant? What was it that they were saying that the public endorsed more over what the other party was saying? And I think there will be a pendulum in Wisconsin politics. It used to be that we had a lot of authentically independent and swing voters. Now, not so much. But I think eventually things will change, but eventually is
okay.
A long-term phrase.
We leave it there, Mordecai. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee.